Hello there and welcome to this Monday's Racing Postcast. It's the 25th. I'm Maddie Plell. This week's guests are Tom Collins, Keith Melrose and Graham Byrne from Paddy Power. Now, coming up in today's show, as usual, we're going to look back on the weekend's action, which included a shock in the Clarence House chase and maybe even a Gold Cup contender unearthed at Haydock, as well as some other very notable performances, including that of Navajo Pass, which influenced the champion hurdle market, and maybe even a juvenile who could head to the Triumph as well. Then, in the final part of the show, we'll look ahead to a crackerjack weekend, which includes the Cleef Hurdle and Cotswold Chase at Cheltenham and the Skybet Chase at Doncaster. And there's also a certain Shishkin entered up at the latter track as well. That's all coming up in the next 45 minutes or so, so stay tuned. And let's go headfirst into the action at Ascot. Now, first flow, he was the star of the show on Saturday in the Clarence House Chase. It was a race dubbed as sort of a three-way battle between Politolog waiting patiently and Deffy Desoy, but he upset the apple cart in what was a really interesting tactical affair. What did you make of the way this race was run? Because they were clearly confident that they could get Politolog on the stretch, Keith.
That seemed to be the way they had to try and beat him, because Politolog, when winning the Champion Chase and the Tingle Creek, showed his best by getting to do what he liked up front. And it was a tremendous ride from David Bass, and I would take any price offered that it was deliberate, because while I don't know the out in the country bit of Ascot to the yard to know exactly where they start running downhill, it was almost exactly there that Bass really kicked on first flow and said, right, here we go then. And for once, first flow jumped well. That's something we need to remember. He's not known as a great jumper, and he's also particularly adept on soft ground. I sort of said this last time he won as well in the Castleford, to be honest, but things were right for him to run as well as he's ever going to in that race on Saturday. And he's shown that he is top class, but there needs to be an awful lot goes right again if he's going to do it come Cheltenham, I think.
Indeed, he does seem ground dependent. His sort of form would show you that. It was another grade one for Kim Bailey. We'll gloss over that when talking about this TC. But how do you think his presence could impact a champion chase? Because he has the pace, but he's also a very strong stayer. Do you think that could be a worry for horses like Shaq and Poussoir on the front end if he's got constant pressure in the shape of this horse, or will he not be good enough to sort of put that pressure on?
I don't think he'll be good enough to challenge the likes of Shaq and Poussoir. He's obviously very ground dependent. All of his best forms come on soft or heavy ground. Now, you can't take anything away from him. He's 10 from 18 in his career, 7 out of 11 over fences. And that was his first attempt at Grady Company over fences as well. So, you know, it was a big career best in this sphere. I thought, as Keith said, it was a great ride from David Bass. First flow is a poor jumper normally. And he just really made his mind up at every single fence, pushed him into the fence, and he to be fair to the horse, he produced some really stellar leaps, and that probably won him the race, his jumping, as well as obviously the aggressive and brilliant ride by Bass. I don't think he's a real player in the champion chase, but then again, I didn't think there was any excuses for the likes of Politolog in that race. Deffy Desoy as well, I think he ran out most people would have expected him to run. I don't think people thought he was a real challenger in that race. Apart from the winner, the result was largely what most people expected, and First Flow just really stamped his name on the stage. Now, if he can do that in better races like at Cheltenham, then he's the new light in the division. But I'm just a bit, you know, tentative that he's going to be able to do it at Cheltenham.
One thing to mention, sorry, just to underline how good Bass's ride was the other chases on the card as well were won by aggression from the front. In the two handicaps, you had to be prominent early doors and you were dead. And that's what happened a little bit in the Clarence House. And we talked, TC mentioned rightly there, that it largely finished how you'd have expected besides. But one horse you maybe could mark up just a little bit would be Fanyan Destreval, who was given quite a lot to do and still looked like he could have been placed. In fact, he might have been placed he was almost in a head bobber with waiting patiently for third. So he's a horse that remains with a little bit to show us, I think. But remember, in all those Ascot chases on Saturday, that you had to be prominent.
That's an interesting tactical point. The figures on Racing Post ratings suggest that First Flow is not an sort of under average winner of this race. He's up there. Were punters keen to sort of side with him, looking forward to Cheltenham, Graham? I mean, he must have been cut, but I can't imagine they'd be thinking he'd be up to taking on the likes of Chacon Passois and Altior. Am I right?
Yeah, he was 50-1 before the race, and that's been slashed, as you'd imagine, into 12-1. It's a great story with the owner being a 92-year-old. He's been a great supporter of Kim Bailey since his second year training, I believe. So I think punters could latch onto the day, but there's been no real movement since the day. It's still a 12-1 shot. It does look like Chacon Passois is going to go off really, really short in this one. The British form is falling apart, I think it's fair enough to say. Altior, Palillalog, there's holes in them. And it looks like Nubin Negra, who's an 8-1 shot, and also, of course, First Flow, they seem to be the main British challenge now. I think Min will go towards the Ryanair. So it's shaping up as though Chacon Passois will be another hot pot in this one. And it's 12-1 from 50-1 for First Flow.
Thank you very much. Yeah, people sort of scratching around to try and find the value in that division, aren't they? Now, if you got on at 50s for Royal Pagai for the Gold Cup, I know Paul Keighley probably would have done, then you definitely would have got some value because he absolutely bolted up in the Peter Marsh. It was an absolute demolition for Tom Scudamore and Venetia Williams. And I believe he was cut to 8, Graham.
Yeah, absolutely huge mover in the market. He was 25-1 from the Gold Cup. He's into 8-1. It was put into 11-1 after the race, but punters are just really latching onto this one now. Into 8-1. Of course, Conor Gree won this as a novice in 2015. I think you've got to go back to 1974 since the last time a novice won it. But Joe Chambers, the racing manager for Rich Ritchie and Suzanne Ritchie, he reckons that it's a great bet with the non-runner no bet. Of course, Paddy Power going non-runner no bet for the Gold Cup. They sound very bullish about this, and I think that's where they're going to go. 8-1 from 25-1 for Royal Pagai.
Brilliant. Two questions, TC. Should they and will they?
Well, interestingly, I saw on Twitter that one firm was going 10-11, that he'll even go for the race, and 11-10, it'll go for the National Hunt Chase. And I was thinking, wow, that's buying money, isn't he? That he'll go to the Gold Cup. Surely they'll go to the Gold Cup with him. That was a beastly performance off top weight in the testing ground. I know he didn't beat anywhere near the calibre of horse he'd face in the Gold Cup or whatnot, but he achieved an RPR, a race pace rating of 171. Now, that suggests he's well capable of contesting the Gold Cup. I mean, he's got £7 to find with Albin Photo based on last year's victory and the rating that he achieved. They should definitely go for the showpiece event. I just love the way this horse moves. He's got a very low head carriage. He jumps brilliantly. And he's just a relentless galloper, isn't he? I think there are ground concerns. And obviously, there's a question mark about Cheltenham. He's never run there, I don't believe. So there are two question marks there and doubts if you're backing him. And whether he's got the class to live with the likes of Albin Photo, but you can't knock him for what he's done so far this season.
Yeah, we've mentioned earlier Coney Gree, the last novice to win, but this horse has some more experience, doesn't he? He wasn't very good last season in a couple of starts, but has really blossomed this time around. We'll go through to the weekend's action in the latter stages of the show, but last time I checked, he was still actually in the Skybet Chase, so that's interesting. Who knows whether he'll turn up there? Keith, one thing I did notice was he adjusted left in the home straight. It seemed to be just the last time. Why do you reckon he did that?
Because he's not a great jumper. That is one of the drawbacks with this horse. He does make the odd mistake. He's an obvious, he's entitled to do that. He might get better as time goes on. He jumps quite low as well, which can be a trait that these horses that come from France have. Finding Destreval, who we talked about a minute ago, is just the same, actually. This horse is Gold Cup standard. He will run in the Gold Cup. I don't think I've made this up, but Rich Ritchie's obsessed with the Gold Cup, isn't he? And I think that's what leads you down that route, because he's already got Monkfish covering the RSA, and he loves that race, the Gold Cup, above all other races, from what I seem to remember. Of course this horse is going to run in the Gold Cup, and he deserves to. He is clearly a 170 plus horse. He's finished at Peter Marsh at about 98% on the bridle. I mean, the horses behind, you could pick holes in all day, no question, but that was a 170-plus performance. He's still a young horse, still a novice. He's got the class. But TC's laid out a few of the things. You know, Cheltenham's a very undulating track. He's not really run over one of them yet. He has really generally done it on softer ground, although Kempton, you know, was a bit different. And there is just this question about his jumping against the very best horses. Those are the reasons that mean I can sit it out, but there's a part of me that's so, so tempted at the prices available, because we've been talking a week ago, you just said it's sort of a bit there for the taking for Albin Photo, because there's thick holes you can pick in everything else. And there was the same with Royal Pagai, but he's so good. He's clearly so good, and we clearly don't know everything about him yet. You know, there is just that temptation there, but he does still have to answer quite a lot of questions, as any novice would.
He's won a lot of his, well, his last two performances have basically been won on the bridle. Do you get the feeling there's more there if he were to ask for it?
He is going to stay very well. He essentially ran over the Gold Cup trip on Saturday, actually, because they added 140-odd yards to that race, which took it over 3 mile 2. Is there more to come? Yeah, you've got to say there is. He wasn't put under any pressure. He had to quicken a little bit at Kempton and sort of show it that way. I wouldn't be at all surprised if this horse could run 175. 180 would be a stretch at this stage. But, you know, there's got to be a case of this horse running to a big, big figure and there being a little bit more there. Because, as you say, he was on the bridle on Saturday and wasn't really slowing down for still being on the bridle in a race where they were literally running over snow.
We'll talk about Yala Enki in a minute, but would you turn him out again in the Sky Bet Chase? Because Yala Enki is going to go for the Cotswold Chase by the looks of it.
No quite. I mean, Yala, but the massive difference here is that Yala Enki is a known quantity.
You know,
this horse, will, I don't think we'll see him again before the Gold Cup. I assume that's the case. The next time we'll see, and that will make him a real tempter as a question, because the last piece, we've seen all the evidence we're going to see for Royal Pagai in the Gold Cup. I think we won't see him again. So on the day, you're going to have to ask yourself, is this 10-1 shot, this novice, worth betting against Album Photo, given how good he's looked? But still leaving so many little questions there to be answered. So he is going to be, we're going to be talking about this horse an awful, awful lot in the, what, 50 days or so, I believe it is, until the Gold Cup. You're going to hear a lot more about this horse.
I love that. I feel like that your heart is overruling your head with him a little bit. I'm sure others will agree after he was so visually impressive. Let's move on to another contest at Haydock then and talk about Navajo Pass, who beat Bouvardaire in the new one hurdle. It was a really slick jumping performance this. Would we be for or against Bouvardaire going forward? TC, I'll go to you first. What did you make of this performance?
I mean, he was returning from a long absence, wasn't he, Bouvardaire? No one expected, well, not that I heard, no one expected Navajo Pass to beat him. Everyone was thinking it would potentially be a match between him and Ballyandy. That just wasn't the case. And another aggressive ride resulted in a victory there for Sean Quinlan on Navajo Pass. Bouvardaire, I don't really know what to make of him. I really wanted him to come back with a huge effort. He was getting £3 from Navajo Pass. He just couldn't pick him up in the closing stages. I love this horse, but he's a 10-year-old now. Nicky Henderson was saying that he ran brilliantly, yet he still got beat by an inferior rival. I know it was returning from a long absence, but look, I expected him to win the race, and I'm just a bit disheartened by him from that effort.
Henderson was bullish beforehand and even bullish afterwards, saying he'd come on for it, wasn't he? The race was just a second quicker than Favoir in the Supreme trial, so read into that what you may. Keith, I wasn't too happy with how he looked to be moving in the closing stages, but maybe that was just fitness. What did you take out of this performance?
I think it was quite obvious that he was looked after, to be perfectly honest with you. And it was quite obvious that I don't think he was fit, because between sort of three out to the last, he does move through it like a horse that's still got the engine there. And he's completely cut out after the last. So reasons to not be downhearted. But at the same time, it's a little bit sort of cognitive dissonance to be bullish about that, isn't it? How can you be bullish about a horse that was capable of 170 performances losing in those circumstances? He's going to come on for that. He probably still has a 160 in him, I would have said. But in a champion hurdle, that's not going to be good enough. So, you know, there's still that horse. It's a negative, net negative Saturday, but it's not entirely without hope. I just wouldn't be all that positive.
Okay, Graham, what does the market say for the champion hurdle? Because this is a race where we're sort of, again, looking for horses to come out of the shadows, aren't we?
Yeah, we are at the moment. It's all about Epatante, really, at the moment. Just with Bova there, his odds have doubled. Nicky Henderson might have been bullish, but the punters certainly weren't. And this is a big drifter. It's at the 20-1 now. It's doubled in price. Navajo Pass is interesting. Donald McCain said afterwards he doesn't think it's quick enough to win a champion hurdle. Tim Leslie, of course, the owners have great runners in this race. You think the likes of Peddler's Cross. And they're leaning towards the Aintree hurdle is thought to be the likely target for Navajo Pass. I think it's going to bypass Cheltenham. That's the news on that one.
Fantastic. He's such a good jumper, isn't he? I thought, and a real staying sort of 2 mile hurdler. So that entry race will suit him well. From a staying 2 mile hurdler to a staying and a very strong staying chaser, Yala Enke won at Taunton again for Bryony Frost and Paul Nichols. And interestingly, he's going to run at Cheltenham on the weekend, hopefully. What do you make of that, TC?
Yeah, interesting to see him turned out straight away again. An interesting move. The connections were interviewed on ITV Racing. I saw just before I headed off in the car to Sky Sports Studios, and they were like really tentative and nervous ahead of the action on Saturday. And I imagine they were fretting when Yala Enke made that mistake down the back, because he was travelling so well, and then it looked like Bryony was going to be unshipped. And she did very well to sit on Bryony. And then if the cap fits past Yala Enke, and I was thinking, oh, the gallant effort in the Welsh National, you know, when he finished third over a long trip and it was a tough race, is that going to take its toll? But what a horse Yala Enke is. He has the huge heart, doesn't he? He just rallied back past if the cap fits, who incidentally doesn't have a huge heart. And I'm not necessarily sure he wants to win his races or stay the trip. But look, he's a great horse. I hope he runs well on Saturday as well for connections. He's been brilliant ever since he's been with Venetia Williams, now with Paul Nichols. He always runs his race. And yeah, it was a good story to see the owners on ITV Racing look all happy and pleased after his victory.
I would be if I owned a horse like this, Keith. He's so consistent, and he's just really tough, isn't he? I mean, that was his second Portman Cup win, and they're in that realm of he's too high for handicaps now, so why not give Cheltenham a go? Do you think he'll figure on Saturday?
I'm not so sure. It's quite a lot of depth to the Cotswolds this year. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him run well, because, as you say, he's a very admirable horse. And if it comes up very testing, of course, he does thrive in those conditions in a way that not all staying chasers do. And you know, there's others there that have definitely got one eye on the Gold Cup and will be given a sort of Boober Dairish ride in a sense that today's not the day to get involved in a real scrap. You know, you want to keep your powder dry a little bit for the big day. So I wouldn't be bowled over by it. I watched him on Saturday, and to be honest, the only horse that put it up to him didn't stay. So, in terms of the actual performance, you give more credit to Frost for just staying on his back rather than the horse for battling past an on stayer. I thought this horse, I mean, he's at that level now. He's 160-ish rated. They always water heavily at Aintree now for safety reasons. I'd be looking at the Grand National with him, actually. I don't think he'd win one, but if he finished, he's the sort of horse you could definitely see pinging it out in front there for all the way. And, you know, a couple of the more well-handicapped sorts go past him from the Melling Road, but plugs on for third or fourth and gets a nice big check, which is what Paul Nichols is always interested in. So I wonder if after Saturday they'll maybe have another go with him, and after that give him a bit of a break and bring him back for Aintree.
That's an interesting shout. I think I know, obviously, that they water the ground at Aintree these days to ensure it doesn't get too fast. But historically, he has been quite ground dependent, hasn't he, Yala Enke? Let's move on to talk about Tritonic then. Could he be a Triumph Hurdle contender? We'll talk about that just after this.
Paddy Power is streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Now, it was a race that Alan King had won previously in the last 10 years with the likes of Boulder Succès, Gibral Faro and Nayarti, and he went to Ascot with Tritonic this time around. Very good horse on the flat. And it was a race that Goshen won last year as well. He was so unlucky in that Triumph Hurdle. How does this horse feature in the current makeup of that race? Because I thought this was a very decent performance. He had some work to do to get to the leader, but his jumping was pretty solid, and he mowed him down. Graham, were you impressed?
Yeah, I was impressed, but let's be realistic. This is a very hot race to try and for. It's shaping up to be one of the hottest races of the festival. Was cut from 20 to 1 into 12 to 1. Max McNeil from the McNeil family, he said this is going to be the target for it. It is a very classy horse, of course, of the second at Royal Ascot, one of the handicaps there. But it's been put into 12 to 1. It's going to have to go improve leaps and bounds from what I saw on the weekend to get up to Zanahir and French Azeel, who head the market at the moment at 5-2 and 5-1 respectively. The Irish Challenge is very strong in the Triumph Hurdle this year.
And we'll hear so much more about those horses, Zanahir and French Azeel, maybe even Quilixios at the Dublin Racing Festival. Of course, everyone looking forward to that. So Tritonic with a little bit to find. What about some other performances at Ascot on Saturday? Dashiell Drasher, I couldn't believe my eyes seeing this horse win. This was an incredible performance, even surname-esque maybe, from when he did some wide margin wins at the track. This horse is so tough and he just has an incredible cruising speed. Keith, what would you do with him next?
What would I do with him next? Well, his hands forced... to go in, he's won that off 152. He'll presumably go up to high 150s now. So their options are to run off the top weight in handicaps. And, you know, I wouldn't be averse to maybe running in the plate or something at Cheltenham because he does jump left, actually. You wouldn't think he's a horse that would excel at Ascot given the way he jumps. But I just don't know. Is he going to be good enough to do that or run in graded races? The other thing to consider on Saturday is it was an aggressive ride, yes, and aggressive rides are very much the order of the day in deep winter ground and at Ascot, but that ended up being a really hard race, didn't it? He found lots and give him his due for his attitude, but if that horse turns out any time in the next 6 weeks, I'll be having a look and thinking it might have left the mark because that was a hard, hard race. I'm not sure anything behind him is all that well handicapped. I thought Benny's King won the time before, partly down to a really aggressive and positive ride. And a lot of those sort of in behind had been set quite a lot to do. So maybe the form isn't brilliant for the level of race we're talking about and the horse has had a hard race, but, you know, you cannot fault his attitude. You know, he will run his race when he goes next, but I think he's going to end up in Yara Enki territory. He's going to be a bit too high to win any good handicaps, and he can only run in good handicaps, and not quite good enough for graded races. So it might be the last time we see this horse win for a while, but, you know, he's an admirable beast.
Another one of the features at Ascot was the Holloway's Handicap Hurdle, the Grade 3, and it was won by a big drifter in the market, Craig Nesh, I'm not sure how you pronounce that one, for Nicky Henderson, Tom Cannon aboard, and a seven-length winner. I'm not sure this was necessarily the hottest renewal of this race, Graham, but the horse, the winner is a horse on the up, and he's got lots of options now.
Yeah, he does, but it's going to be interesting to where he goes. I mean, punters probably scratching their head on Saturday to see a Nicky Henderson horse win at that price, 14 to 1. It was 3 out of 4. Was coming off a big layoff, of course, and it was a bottom weight. Tom Cannon, of course, stole the headlines, being his first ride for Nicky Henderson, deputising for the unfortunate Jerry McGrath. But it's not clear where Craig Nesh is going to go, so it's really wide open what he's going to do with it next. But it was very impressive coming off the layoff, so it'll be interesting to see where Nicky Henderson aims it next.
Other notable performances, we had Silver Hallmark winning at Haydock when Orlark fell, and Favoir won the Supreme Trial as well under a gritty ride from Bridget Andrews. Who were your eye catchers? Which horses should we be adding to our Racing Post tracker, TC?
Yeah, well, I've got one for you. I just want to mention that Craig Nesh first. I'm really taken by him. I thought his performance was really impressive, and obviously his mark of 127 massively underestimated him. He just seems like he shapes like a real stayer, and he's crying out for 3 miles, in my opinion. Look, he's 3 from 4 in his career. He was very much overlooked on Saturday. I overlooked him myself, you know. But his only defeat came behind the big breakaway at over hurdles at Newbury. That form looks relatively strong, like Papa Tango Charlie was second. It was a pretty decent race. And then when he was last seen before Saturday, he bled badly. He still managed to win that race, bled badly, came back with that performance on Saturday, which was monstrous. I know he was off a lightweight and a lenient mark, but I was really impressed with him. So I'll be keeping an eye on him.
Just to interject, maybe something like the Sefton Novices Chase down the line if he improves enough?
Yeah, very much so. Next year, maybe. I mean, he's entering the Coral Cup this year. I think he's about 16 to 1. He needs a rise of about 11 pounds to a stone, maybe, to get in. But that's feasible based on that blistering victory. And I wouldn't be overlooking him for that race if Nicky Henderson decides to go to Cheltenham with him. And then looking at other eye catchers, I was on Sky Sports Racing covering Newcastle, and there was one at Newcastle that caught my eye, which was Al Nasharat, who ran in the last race. He couldn't get to the winner, which was Spartan Fighter, who showed a new lease of life for Anthony Britton. A great ride by Harry Russell, who rode a couple of winners on the card, including aboard the recalcitrant Van Dyke, which was another brilliant ride. Spartan Fighter made every single yard from start to finish, and he really showed a new attitude that day. But Al Nasharat drew clear with the winner and the third place horse, which was Fortimore, who's very well handicapped. He travelled really well, but just didn't pick up after a long absence. Al Nasharat was making his first start for trainer Adam West. I thought he showed plenty of promise. He really picked up in the closing stages. And back in 2018, when he was trained by Sir Michael Stout, he was only beaten three lengths by Corto, who was obviously a very good horse for Godolphin. So off mark in the low 80s, I think Al Nasharat is one for the tracker.
Super. I'm going to nominate one as well. Not so much of an eye catcher. I think everyone saw him, but I really like the performance of Gladiator Allen up at Ascot in the final race. I'm not sure the form represents that much, beating Valair, but I think the way this horse jumped signifies that he's going to be a fantastic chaser for Jane Williams down the line. So keep your eye on him long term. Keith, who have you got for us?
A couple of things. Firstly, in the 3 mile chase at Ascot on Saturday, I gave up on Yaltari after his reappearance. He looked like that was the day for him, and he didn't really turn up. And but no, I've had it with him. He's had his chance, but he's been flashing a bit of ankle at me again the last couple of starts, and did well to get involved at all in that race from quite a way off the pace. So I'll be giving him another bash if he goes down in grade a little bit next time. So he's one for that. And also the 350 at Haydock. Now, I told the podcast listeners on Saturday or Friday I would be having a bet in this race. The way the market went, Zuckerberg was very weak at the death, so I ended up having a little bet on Destined to Shine, who was second. Now, in the Peter Marsh, the first and second raced very wide all the way, and Tom Skew made a conscious decision to take Royal Pagai as wide as he could. And in this race, Protective Flow, the winner, went wide, and Destined to Shine and Black Pirate, the second and third, went up the inside. Now, I don't know if there's anything in it, but there's just a little bit of a suggestion there that you might have wanted to be on the outside there. So you would mark up Destined to Shine, and who travelled the best by quite a way, and Black Pirate, who also got tired after the last on just the second run since a wind-up. So I'll be looking at both of those, as well as Zuckerberg himself, who took that big drift late on, didn't jump all that well, but showed a lot of ability in how he travelled up. His French form's actually quite good. His last run in France, I think, he was second to Horse at Dieppe, who won its next two completed starts. I do like looking into the background on this French form because it's something not a lot of people do. And if you get it right, you can get a bit of an edge with it. Finally, in that race too, I would just mention Reaver's Lad, who was well backed on his return from quite an absence and was still going well up with the lead until he got in too tight five out. He jumped well until that point and came down there. So what to do, anybody who's got a Members Club Ultimate subscription and can watch these replays, do spend time picking through the bones of that 350 at Haydock, because it's one of those races where there's lots and lots of interesting horses, one of which isn't the winner.
Fantastic plug that, and a great angle as well that you highlight as well with the French form. Graham, any highlights from you? Any horses that you like the look of over the weekend?
Well, I just want to go back to what TC was saying, because I think you might be onto something about Craig Necky, because, of course, the Coral Cup has been won the last couple of years by Nicky Henderson. He'll be going for three in a row for that. And Craig Necky is top price with Paddy Power. 16th to 1, of course, it's no runner, no bet. So it looks like that could be the aim for Craig Necky.
Fantastic. Now, we have 7 Grade 2s coming up on Saturday. It's going to be very, very informative. We'll pick our way through them after this.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the final section of this Monday postcast. Before we go into previewing some of Saturday's action, Graham has an update on the Paddy Power Millionaire Chase for us.
Yeah, this was, of course, meant to be run on New Year's Day, and it's been moved to Trials Day on Saturday, which is the 150. And we have our finalists for this, and one lucky Paddy Power customer is going to win a cool £1 million in this 150 race. It's really got a lot of tongues wagging in the betting community. £1 million on offer for the lucky finalist in this one. If just for getting to the final, they're going to get 10 grand. The likes of Carol from County Cork, Jeff from Bootle, his house was stolen into the day before he found out he's in the final. He'll be a popular winner of that £1 million. We have the likes of Owen, the farrier from Dublin, Kim from London, Gard from Godalming, and Gillian from Edinburgh. There's a few more in there, but it's the 150. The draw will be done on Thursday for this, and one lucky Paddy Power customer is going to win £1 million. Good luck to them.
Fantastic. Yeah, best of luck if you are involved in that one. Let's talk about the Cotswold Chase, which is one of the features on Saturday. Sponsored by Paddy Power, 45 sleeps to Cheltenham Cotswold Chase, the Grade 2. I can't believe Bristol Demai hasn't won this race yet, just looking through the past winners. He seems to run in it every single year. And he's right at the top of there with his rating of 169. We haven't seen him since Haydock, of course. Will you be taking him on, TC? Who's your selection?
Yeah, I probably will be taking him on. At Bristol Demai is 0-6 at Cheltenham. He just never seems to run as well at this track as he does at the likes of Haydock and elsewhere, to be fair. I'll probably be taking him on. I've only had a brief look at the entries. Native River and Santini are in there. I like St. Calvados. I think he's a nice horse. I've backed him a fair few times. And when he finished second to Min in March in the Ryanair, I thought that was a really good effort. Given he's had a nice comeback behind Fredon and the King George, if he runs to anything like that Ryanair effort, I think he's got a great chance in here. So at this early stage, I'll side with St. Calvados, but you know, I need a more in-depth look at the card before I solidify my selection.
Yeah, very wise. Keith, what about you?
I think we were saying before we came on, Maddie, it might not be the very highest quality Cotswolds chase you'll ever see, but it's going to tell us so much about these horses. Lakeview Lad obviously being one who beat the big names at Aintree last time. Bristol Demai, we sort of know all about. Native River, how much does he have left? And St. Calvados is probably the most interesting of all, because you watch that King George first time with all the sort of hoo-ha about it and the rush as Brian and Frodon win that race, and you thought, oh, he's not stayed. You watch it back again and there is actually a case for him there more than you might think, actually. I spoke to Tom Siegel about it, who has put up St. Calvados for the Gold Cup, and he nearly won me round in the end. So he's going to be the one I'll be watching out of this race. I just can't commit to a bet yet. It's one of those races where I will only bet relative to prices because of these horses being so well known and having all these questions to answer. But it is a race that I can guarantee, if I could have a bet on this race telling us loads, I would make it nap of the week, because it's going to be a lot coming out of this race.
Fantastic. That's at 2:25. At 3:35, we have the Paddy Power Cleeve Hurdle, the Grade 2. And this race might not tell us that much at all, because Paisley Park's likely to be a short price favourite. Can you see anything getting close to him, TC? I think it's going to be a struggle, although Itchy Feet's a bit of a surprise package in there, isn't he?
Yeah, Itchy Feet's an interesting runner. I don't think anything will get close to Paisley Park, no. He won this race for the last 2 years. He beat West Approach in it in 2019 by 12 lengths. If I was a backer on distance, I'd say it'd be around 12 lengths. I'd maybe take the over 11.5 lengths. He looks the clear standout, doesn't he? And he was blistering last time out behind when beating Time Hill. So potentially a one-horse race, but it's great to see Paisley Park on track again.
Keith, anything to add? Time Hill obviously not turning up here, and Philip Hobbs, some of his horses still not quite hitting the heights. So maybe that's why.
I don't know why they're not running Time Hill, but I think these conditions would have suit Paisley Park to beat him anyway. If I was looking for a sort of funky bet in this race, I think I can picture them turning as the camera goes from front onto side on at Cheltenham. I can imagine Itchy Feet still swinging on the bridle and Aidan Coleman still riding along on Paisley Park. And at that point, you know, there's a bit of in running potential there, but Paisley Park will still go past and probably win the race.
What about the Skybet Handicap Chase listed race at Doncaster on Saturday at 3:15? We've spoken a lot about Royal Pagai on this podcast, and Captain Ord was just behind him at Kempton last time. He heads the betting I'm looking at. Graham, do your figures agree?
Yeah, Captain Ord's been hugely popular, of course. Anything with that form ties in with Royal Pagai at the moment is going to be backed. It's into 3-1 at the moment for this race. Christian Williams, he won it as a jockey on board Big Fella Tanks back in 2009 for Paul Nichols. He knows what it takes. They pulled well clear at Royal Pagai and Captain Ord last time. It's going to be smashed in. I can see it going off even shorter than 3-1. Canelo is next in the market for Alan King. He's won this race twice in the recent past with Ziga Boy. That's 5-1. And it's been a bit of an each-way move for Nick Williams, 7-year-old here, one for the team that is in to 6-1 from 20-1. So there's a three market principles for this Skybet Chase.
Fantastic. And TC, I mean, this Royal Pagai form's red hot, as I'm sure Keith wants to talk about in just a second. But do you think that Captain Ord can give it another boost?
Yeah, it's the most fashionable piece of form around at the moment, isn't it? Royal Pagai's Kempton form, or anything Royal Pagai runs in, to be fair. And I think he probably will give him another boost. Look, Christian Williams doesn't leave his money behind. I went to Fosslass once last summer, I think it was. I did the Welsh double, went to Chepstow one day, Fosslass the other.
And I remember.
There was a horse running at Fosslass. Now, the name escapes me. That wasn't the name of the horse, not the Irish-trained runner. I can't remember the horse's name, but there was a horse trained by Christian Williams that had absolutely no form, and it was 33-1. And it went off at 5-1 favourite, and it didn't come off the bridle. And then he had two other winners on the card that were heavily well-backed. And since then, I've got this theory that Christian Williams loves a gamble. And the fact there's been a lot of money for this Captain Ord, 13-2 into threes, obviously plenty of that will be from punters looking at the Royal Pagai form. But I'd be surprised if there a little bit wasn't from Williams himself or the owners. So I wouldn't be taking him on out of a hurry, given the gamble on him so far.
Some good horses in there, even the likes of Definitely Red, I see, in York Hill. He's obviously entered up at Cheltenham as well. Keith, you've got to be taking Captain Ord on, haven't you, knowing you?
Well, I'm not going to be backing him. I don't see any point in doing it at this point, really. Obviously, the Royal Pagai form, you look at that form and think he's only gone up £6 for that. He's beaten a subsequent winner out of sight. He's only just finished buying a horse that's, you know, a 170 horse running off 140. There's so much to like there. I would like to get off somebody who does back 3-1 shots 5 days out a reason behind it, because this horse isn't going to go off 13-8, is he not? So you'll definitely get that sort of price around, you know, once he's been declared for no risk. So I'm not backing him at this point. I'll be watching one for the team. I just looking at it up to now, I'd have thought they're getting him ready for the Ultima, the race, the one with Kustar Sivila. A couple of times. He looks like the sort of horse that will get lined up for that race. My bet on Saturday, if I had to have one just now, would be I Wright. I'm told he's going for the Scottish Nationals his main race, but 3 miles round Doncaster, positive ride. He's obviously race fit from his run in the Jumpers Bumper recently. 12-1, it seems quite big to me. So I'd be looking at I Wright as my bet in the race just now.
Okay, best bets time. Who are your naps? And let's go to Keith first. Keith, Cheltenham is your port of call, and it's that illustrious strand of form again.
Well, it's a different illustrious strand of form, but it's the same horse, of course. It's Royal Pagai. Obviously, he's improved about £30 in the last 2 months, so people will have you believe. And there's a race at Cheltenham, the Novices Handicap Chase, on the card that works out really well almost every year, and never more famously than last year when Simply the Bets beat Imperial Aura with all the slopes trailing back in third. That was a particularly good example, but it's always a race that tends to work out well. It's where some of the best handicapped novices come at, say, this time of year. And I think possibly the best handicapped novice just about going just now is Espoir de Romy. Now, he was 7 lengths second to a Royal Pagai and a novice at Haydock, I think. But, you know, didn't look like a complete gulfing class between the two. He was obviously the second best horse. But this Espoir de Romy was favourite for a race at Kempton a few weeks back, off 140, and he was going to go off nearer 2-1 really by the time they went off. Didn't he got pulled out for whatever reason? I forget the reasons. But he's turning up here now of 140. He won't get touched until we're recording this on Monday. He won't get touched until tomorrow. That's when adjusted ratings come out, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if there was a couple of collateral pounds added to his rating given what Royal Pagai's done. But I thought when this horse won his chasing debut, I thought he was a graded horse. And then he got beat off Royal Pagai, and my immediate thought was, well, maybe he's going to take a bit longer to get to where I thought he would. But we don't need to think that anymore. We've got a Gold Cup horse in Royal Pagai. So Espoir de Romy, I think, is absolutely chucked in off 140. I'm not expecting massive prices, but he's the one I'll definitely be backing this weekend.
Confidence then behind Espoir de Romy at Cheltenham. TC, who's your best bet? I see there's a Kempton card on Saturday. Are you looking at that, or are you looking at the jumps action?
Well, I haven't actually got that far yet so far this morning. I'm only on Thursday looking at my column that I write for the Racing and Football Outlook. And you know I always like to go the extra mile, so I'm going to give you a nap and the next best this week, which I'm sure will go very well. The nap is going to be Tributo in the 405 at Lingfield. on Wednesday. This horse won't be a massive price, and I'm going to put that out there now. But he's a very promising colt. He's been heavily backed, which is why he won't be a nice price on both starts so far, from the Stuart Williams barn, who obviously likes putting the money down on his horses, and he rarely gets it wrong. He's like Christian Williams. He ran a really nice race when he was fifth on debut. He showed plenty of inexperience that day. And then last time, he was really heavily punted again into 10 to 11 favouritism at Chelmsford. And he unfortunately unshipped Marco Chiani in the stalls before he even got to take a stride in the race. He ended up doing 4 or 5 laps of Chelmsford that day, the commentator said after, which just indicates how much potential ability this horse has. He just doesn't like stopping. He just kept going and going. It took about 18 minutes to catch him. And I just think Tributo's a really good bet at Lingfield in the 405. I think if everything goes right at the gates, he'll break his duck. And the next best one at a bigger price is Custard the Dragon, the reliable old 8-year-old, in the 325 at Southall tomorrow on Tuesday. He's won 7 times at Southall out of 9 career victories. So he's a real course specialist. All those wins did come over 7 furlongs, and he's unproven at a mile, which he's running over here. But he ran really well on his penultimate outing to finish second behind a nice horse trained by Mick Appleby. Kind of suggests that he needs this trip now. He's got older and wants further with age. He won 3 times off marks in the low 80s a couple of years ago. Now he's racing off just 64, which is a joint career low. His form figures in the month of January are 2-1-1, 3-1, 2-5-1, 4-1, 8-4. So he's won 5 times from 12 starts in January. That was since his debut in 2015. Everything just looks right for Custard Dragon. And the forecast odds of 8-1 are massive.
Fantastic. Comprehensive case there made for the Southern Specialist. That's all we've got time for on today's show, but it's going to be a cracking weekend. Shishkin, we've got Bristol Demai and Santini in the Cotswold Chase, hopefully, as well as Paisley Park in the Cleve Hurdle. As usual, Bruce and the team will be back on Friday for an in-detail look at the card. Best luck with your bets this weekend. Stay safe and we'll see you soon.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.